Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone to another episode of Irate Minority. We've had a couple test shows in the last week or so. I do appreciate all the help from some friends and colleagues who've been helping me work on my audio. As you can tell, I'm still not hooked up with a direct mic, so if I sound a little muffled, then I definitely apologize for that, but we will persevere, as usual. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if Crafty is going to be able to make it tonight. He had something come up, and I know I kind of plugged that for the episode description, so if you're tuning in hoping for some Crafty, I definitely apologize. He will be calling and helping me host a future show, maybe a few shows, who knows. So, again, you know, you can reach Crafty at his YouTube channel, Front Row Atheist. He's got a lot of videos up there, including some stuff from the original show. Some of you may remember Front Row at the Freak Show. And I was a co-host. Crafty was the anchor. And we also had the Atomizer. You can still find Atomizer at Atomizer1 on Twitter, known as the Preacher. He is regularly battling and educating people. He's just a bunch of fun. So check him out if you're into that. We've got some headlines again, different stuff going on. I figure tonight we discuss some of the different power structures set up in America and around the world, and how these systems are in opposition to the minority. And by the minority, I do mean the other 99% of us that know what a loaf of bread costs or a gallon of milk costs. So definitely, if you want to talk about that or you want to talk about anything going on, give us a call. And that number is 619-924-9819. That's 619-924-9819. So kind of a sad note. There was a very, very, very well-known writer. He was based in New York, and he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. And he's very well-known because Jimmy Breslin was a New York City columnist, and he's known for his work with, I guess you'd say, unique, normal, regular individuals. For example, he did a story article on the man who dug JFK's grave after his assassination. He's also known for his extensive investigation and reporting on police brutality in New York. And he also struck up a conversation with Son of Sam, the infamous serial killer, and did a continuing article on that. So Jimmy Breslin, super great, awesome columnist, writer. Check him out. He's all over the news, so his article shouldn't be too hard to find. Yeah, so other things going on in the news. The Delta 9 launch, it's a military satellite, and it is the ninth of 10 satellites that they're shooting up there above our heads to make sure that they can communicate better. As far as what these things are capable of, I couldn't really tell you. You know, I'm always a little suspect when it comes to launching military hardware up in space, because given recent issues with the CIA, some things have come to light through the WikiLeaks dumps, and it's a little disturbing, to say the least. We have, and I've talked about this in the past couple nights, so, you know, I'll touch on this, and if somebody wants to call in and talk about it, definitely do that. But I'll be brief, at least briefer than I was the other night. But they basically have a set of hacking tools. And these tools are designed to infiltrate electronic devices such as your iPhone, your Android device, and your televisions, Samsung televisions to be exact, probably others, I'm sure. But they are able to, and this isn't news for many of you out there. This is kind of old news. It's just been made public. But they're able to hack in to your phones and your TV, and they're able to listen. to what you're doing. And I'm sure with the televisions, it's also the possibility to flip on cameras, you know, Microsoft Kinect devices, things like that. Definitely disturbing, but it's been a reality. And the fact that they've been using these tools, and of course, you know, we hear, well, it's to fight terrorism, it's to protect people, which that very well may be. However, you know, any tool can be used for inappropriate uses. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to believe that some of these spying techniques and tactics can be used on civilians who are not terrorists and they're not plotting to destroy anything, but maybe they are quote-unquote subversives, you know, falling underneath the certain articles in the Patriot Act. You know, you can be detained and arrested if you're suspected of being subversive and against, you know, the government. And if you're against the government, then you're obviously a danger, a threat, right? Maybe. I doubt it, but I'm sure in some cases that may be. But, you know, getting off the topic here. But, yes, it's very disturbing. And what bothers me about it is companies like Samsung and Microsoft, iPhone, Androids, they are now coming out with fixes and patches to sort of counteract or mitigate this invasion or this damage. And I don't know if that is per se to make sure that they don't have invasion of privacy by, you know, big alphabet agencies or government corporations, or it's sort of a, hey, we've got your back, we're going to fix this, we didn't know. Yeah, maybe that's up for debate, I think. But that's the world we live in, right? You know, we are under surveillance, and a good friend of mine I spoke with the other night mentioned that it's very eerily similar to Big Brother. If you remember in Big Brother, when they have the workout routines and some other things going on the television, they were able to monitor anyone in their houses, and they were able to speak out to someone if you were doing something that was against the rules. We'll say against the rules, okay, because it's a lot to get into. But if you were doing something that was not approved behavior, okay, and there was a lot of unapproved behavior, okay, you couldn't write, you couldn't speak out in any way, you couldn't do anything that was outside of what was deemed ordinary. The story's prophetic, I believe. It's a nightmarish version. But unfortunately, some of these realities in the book are startling because they are actually beginning to happen, such as the televisions who are able to, and I guess the television isn't the person who, but televisions that have the ability to monitor the public. And that's a reality. Your television, you know, in your room, in your living room, where you sit with your family and your friends, watch movies together, watch TV, fight, argue, love, hate, whatever. In your home, the one place that is supposed to be your area of respite, your safe haven, the one section of earth that you can be yourself, is being invaded. And I don't mean they're watching everyone all the time. You know, there's no way for me to know that. But, you know, just like Winston, we need to be worried. Winston was the main character in 1984. And, you know, how long until somebody shouts at you from your television? But it's definitely a scary thought, and I think it's something that we need to be aware of. Also, an interesting piece of information: 1984, the book sold out. Sold out. Okay, 1984, a book that's often been banned, sold out on Amazon. January. I'm not sure what to think about that. Now, I would like to think that people are worried and nervous, and they want to research and find out about this term, Big Brother. What does this mean? Where did Big Brother come from? What are these cautionary tales? Now 1984, it's not exactly a cautionary tale about the future, so to speak. You know, when George Orwell wrote this, it was a very different time. But a lot of people believe it's about communism. I mean, it's not just about communism, but it was subversive, and it was definitely, he was critical. He was very critical about, you know, this anti-utopian capitalist, modern industrialist society and the way that things were going. You know, he also wrote of something called Animal Farm. But, I mean, he hated Russian communism. And some people say he could have been an anarchist, but I think he was a critic of capitalism and the way that things were headed. Somebody may have a more knowledge about George Orwell and his beliefs and what was going on when he wrote 1984. And if you do, call in, or if you just want to talk about it, definitely don't know what you have to say. At 619-924-9819. That's 619-924-9819. Okay. So anybody wants to call in, give us a call. Tell me what you want to talk about. There's plenty of topics in the news. Recently I have brought up, and I keep talking about it every night. I am just blown away by this little bow wow and President Trump and Snoop Dogg fiasco. And you know, for those of you who may not know, and I'll touch on this briefly, if somebody wants to call in and talk about it, we definitely can. But basically, Snoop Dogg makes this video, and in the video there is a mime with a clown face, you know, typical mime paint, and he is pretty much a spot-on caricature of Donald Trump, you know, the suit, tie, all of it. And he holds his hands up, guns pointed at his head, Snoop Dogg pulls the trigger, and then we have the little bang flag popping down. So it wasn't any kind of graphic, you know, actual bullet and brains type scenario. However, you know, where are we at here with artistic integrity and expression and, you know, threatening media? And then little Bow Wow comes out because, you know, little Bow Wow is definitely real hardcore rapper, you know, always involved, basically a superstar at this point. I'm just kidding. If you don't know who little Bow Wow is, there's a reason, I'm sure. But he came out and basically said that they were going to make Melania, President Trump's wife, the first lady, work for them as a prostitute, is what he was insinuating. He did take down the tweet. I don't know if that was at the direction of Snoop Dogg, like, hey, don't drag me in on this. I'm, you know, making a point my own way. I don't need you tweeting ridiculous, stupid things. But yeah, it's very interesting. And I'd be interested to know also if anybody out there feels as though this is artistic integrity and freedom of expression, and there wasn't anything wrong with what he did. Not little Bow Wow, but we can talk about little Bow Wow too. But I'm more interested in thoughts on Snoop Dogg's expression. So we do have a caller. I'll refer to people from their area code. We have a 740 here. Getting ready to bring you on the line now. All right,
hey,
740, you're on the line. Who's this?
Hey, this is JC from Ohio again.
Oh, JC again. How are you doing, JC?
Fine. How's it going, Beck?
Going well. Going well. Thanks for asking. So, a lot of different things to talk about, different stuff going on. Did you have anything in particular you wanted to talk about this evening?
Well, I just I called in when I heard you ask about the Snoop Dogg fiasco, I guess you'd call it. You know, I've seen the video. It's hardly, you know, the gun just says bang when it goes off. So maybe, it, you know, I don't actually see it as a threat, I guess. But, you know, something like that could be misinterpreted that way, surely. But, you know, if it's going to – I think where Mark Rubio had something to say about it. And it seems like it's just another one of those things, like I was talking last time, that is just trying to take our attention off.
What did he say? Do you know what it was that he said?
Yeah, hold on. It was on TMZ. He said, Snoop. I quote, Snoop shouldn't have done that. We've had presidents assassinated before in this country, so anything like that is something people should really be careful about. People can disagree on policy, but we've got to be very careful about that kind of thing, because if the wrong person sees that and gets the wrong idea, you could have a real problem. I'm not sure what Snoop was thinking. He should think about that. And it goes on. He talked on Billboard, too, but it's basically the same thing.
So we're talking like maybe a super fan or someone who trying to make a name for themselves think that this behavior is going to be applauded, approved
by
their peers or by Snoop Dogg himself. Okay. Yeah, that's – I can definitely be okay with that. Rubio didn't go too far, so all
right. Right.
Well, let me ask you this. So you've seen the video then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I haven't seen the video. So let me ask you this. Is it just kind of a one-off getting attention – type thing in the video, or is there actually like a story? Like, does he lead up to this shooting him in the head? Is he talking about him during his rhyme or his verses?
Well, he's not really talking directly about Trump himself. I don't think he says Trump at any point, but you know, before it actually happens, there's other rappers around and they're kind of got Trump chained up and, you know, they're slapping him and pushing him around and just generally torturing him. And, I mean, you know, not graphically, but then when it comes down to Snoop actually shooting Trump, he's got his hands up, like, you know, no, don't shoot, but, you know, he's not facing Snoop Dogg. And then when Snoop pulls the trigger, it's one of those old revolvers that have the flag that comes out and says bang.
Right.
So it doesn't actually show anything. I mean, it shows him falling, but, it, you know, there's no blood in it. I mean, it's – like you were saying before, it's just an artist showing his artistic, just you know how he views Trump, and you know I guess I could see how it could be a problem to some people that would take it quite literally, but I think it's just another one of those things to take our attention off of the real problems. It seems to happen frequently.
I don't disagree. You know, from what I've seen of the video, and my own interpretation is, you know, we have a lot of hostility and tension in this country right now. And, you know, I guess in some ways it can be construed as not a direct threat, but sort of, you know, hey, there's a group of people out here that don't like you, and, you know, we could theoretically assassinate you, or theoretically, you know, destroy you. Maybe I don't know. There's definitely questionable material, you know. And Greg Gutfeld, I don't know if you've seen anything about this, but Greg Gutfeld talked a lot about Little Bow Wow's tweet and basically called Little Bow Wow a bitch. They didn't edit it either, and I thought that was kind of funny, but. And he was smart about it. He called him a little bitch in reference to him being, you know, referred to as a dog. So he referred to him as a bitch, a female dog. But we all knew what he was saying. And, you know, I think that artistic integrity is important, and creative license is important, and the ability to, you know, free speech is under fire here anyway. And that's something that, you know, we're going to have to be very, very careful about, because I don't think that Donald Trump or anybody who is in Congress, well, maybe not anybody, but a lot of people who are at that level have made no qualms with wanting to censor the internet and basically filter what people are seeing and hearing. And I think that's also very, very dangerous. And when we have things like, you know, and I love Snoop Dogg, man, that guy, you know, he has paved the way for how many
Absolutely.
Artists, the whole genre of music. But
sure.
I have concern that by doing this, he's validating, you know, the opposition, because, and I do wonder, and what would have happened had somebody had the same exact video with Barack Obama? I honestly feel like it would have jumped directly to racism.
Absolutely. That would have been the first place it went. It would have had nothing to do with politics at that point.
And I think that's inevitable. I mean, I think that there's always going to be that group of people out there who are quick to play the race card. And that also, are you aware of, it's the show Key and Peele. And I think it's Michael Key that just came out with this movie Get Out. Are you aware of this?
Yes, I've seen that. It's supposed to be a satirical type movie, but I don't think it's being taken that way.
Right.
I think it's being taken quite
that,
literally.
And again, I haven't seen this, okay, but I'm aware of a lot of the stuff that goes on, and I find it interesting that someone is exposing the other side of racism, the more liberal side of racism, if you will, I really want to make sure to make sure that everyone knows I'm not racist, to make sure that everyone knows that I am okay with black people. And you'll see, I mean, you know, he's like, oh, hey, do you like golf? Oh, no, not really. You know, he's like, oh, well, I love Tiger Woods. And I think that happens a lot. I think people are very eager to prove they're not racist.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they are.
Okay, great. Well, JC, I'm gonna put you on hold here. We're going to come back to you because I think you had some more stuff you want to talk about while we do have another caller.
Okay.
So if you don't care, hang on the line. We'll come back to you here. We're going to go over to 251. Give me just a second here and figure out how the switchboard works. All right, 251.
Hello?
You're on the line at Irate Minority. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. This whole Snoop Dogg thing, you know.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I was saying, listening to this one guy's argument, is, you know, it's free of speech, free of whatever he wants to do. An interpretation of the thing if he shoots Donald Trump because he thinks Donald Trump's a clown. But my biggest thing is people tweeted when Obama got elected his first term that they should kill that dude. And they got arrested for an act of terrorism. And yet someone like Snoop Dogg can just show an interpretation of shooting Donald Trump for president. And all they say is he knows an apology.
So you think there's a double standard here?
Oh, I think there is a definitely double standard going on, because it's not a certain type of president. We got a new president nobody wants to like. And so it's okay for people to show, I guess, quote, the word to use is what, hating on them or whatever. So it's okay to show that we could shoot this president, but the last president couldn't make a single thing like that without being arrested for racism or terrorist acts, because they took it as a threat because they said someone needs to just shoot this person. Because there was, if I remember correctly, when it first came out, 14 people were arrested right after the election votes came down for terrorist acts of threatening to kill Obama, and it was just based off of what, like, most social media. If I remember correctly, I might be off. Don't get me wrong, but I know, because it was a big discussion the next day after he was elected. I remember that.
Well, yeah, I do, and it's been a while. I do remember there were two guys in Tennessee, and they were arrested for
out of their living room. Out of their living room. One guy was
out of their living room
watching TV. Yeah. He was watching TV,
okay,
and he was making threats about killing Obama over, like, Twitter or Facebook or whatever. He had no intentional plans or anything. He didn't even have the stuff that was said. But because he made those threats, he was arrested for terrorism and released later. But you show an artistic interpretation of shooting the clown president. And, okay.
So do you think that... And this is a question. I'm not trying to bait you here. Do you think that there's pretty much no difference when it comes to saying, okay, I am going to make a video here, and I'm going to shoot the – and I like the way you put that. He's doing the clown president. It wasn't an exact representation of Donald Trump, and I think that – if it was an exact representation, we might be having a whole different discussion here.
Yeah.
But do you think that this is part of people going on Twitter, going on social media, and not fully understanding the ramifications of what they say, being, as some people say, bad through a mic? You know, because you'll have, like, online gamers and people on Facebook who will say things and do things because they don't fear the ramifications or the repercussions of their actions.
They don't care. They think most people think they're untouchable.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. You know, and I don't think you have to forgive me. I'm doing a show out of my building here, so my dog's going insane. I think that you bring up a valid point that, you know, this person was mouthing off of Twitter, and, you know, whether they had true intent or not, you know, we don't know. I'm sure that they were, of course, going to deny that, you know, when it comes to questioning. But, you know, we have someone who's a celebrity, someone who's a star, and he is kind of given a blank check to do these types of things because of his status.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Well, let me ask you this. So do you think that social media like Facebook, Twitter, things of that nature are part of the problem? Do you think that someone – so let's take this person, for example. Do you think that fully understood what they were doing was a threat against the president, which is – you know,
no.
Which is criminal,
people,
I guess, based on intent. But do you think that it's because of social media people don't understand that they don't believe that is a reality?
Why should they? President says, yeah, probably not. They probably don't pay attention to it. You know, a lot of people don't know their amendments. They, all they know is, check, you know, they got the freedom of speech. People don't realize what it entails of freedom of speech is, that it has limitations. People don't care. They just yell out amendments. Because they hear other people yell at amendments, and they think, oh, well, cause that means it's cool, free of speech. It's, I mean, people don't realize, you know, this quote-unquote free country is not exactly as free as everybody thinks it is. There's a lot of limitations to each amendment, especially freedom of speech. You can't just say slanderous things about the president. There's actually ramifications for that, but people don't realize that, and people just don't care. And people who was that there was a riot after President Trump got arrested. Everybody think, cause they're, you know, you can hold a peaceful riot and everything like that. All those people just got arrested, and now they can no longer vote for the rest of their life because of the rioting they did and the slander stuff, and then the damage they did in name against Donald Trump. I think it was Seattle. I don't remember. It was shortly after Trump. I haven't, you know, kept up with the riot, but I remember several. There was a lot of people arrested, and there's a lot of memes talking about that. So many voters are not. I don't have to worry about next election. Or something along those lines.
Because they were arrested underneath a felony act. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this was
not federal property somewhere.
Okay, so and was it a protest that turned into destruction of federal property? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Back to your
exactly.
Oh no, you're fine. So let me ask you this. When we talk about limits on freedom of speech, now, okay, so for example, the famous you can't say bomb on a plane. You know, or what if I was a bombardier, you know? But
yeah.
Do you think that there are limits on artistic expression?
I mean, I don't think there's limits on artistic expression as long as it's not like you're in, I mean, that's a touchy subject because, you know, you should be able to paint your feet, you know, paint what you can express. But, I mean, I don't know, that's kind of hard to say because people can paint stuff the way he did there. He's just expressing himself, but look what it's leading into other things, pushing people, moving people into to other things like that little Bow Wow you were talking about earlier.
Right, and that is something that's
I mean, because if you start trying to tell people what they can paint and what they can't paint or what they can show, and then we're going more towards the communist, you know, side of government. If we're starting to tell people certain things, you know, you can't paint certain things, you can't show certain things, you know, that's starting to limit people's freedoms. I mean, should there be repercussions on things? I mean, possibly. It just depends because, I mean, I don't know because, I mean, showing a thing you shoot in the president is one thing. You know, that's kind of one of those itchy subjects, you know? I mean, I don't think there's exactly an amendment saying freedom of expression through art.
Well, and there's not. That's more of a freedom of the press, freedom of speech sort of. You know, we've got to basically look at what these things are and then make the determination because, you know, one person looks at what Snoop Dogg's done as artistic expression, and then another person looks at it and says, well, that's a very clear death threat. There's also a billboard. I don't know if you've seen this, but in downtown Phoenix, there is a giant billboard over Grand Avenue, and I think it was Taylor Street, it said. Basically, it's got Donald Trump, and there's two dollar signs that look very much like Nazi symbols, and then behind those, there's mushroom clouds. And in these mushroom clouds, there's clown faces. And the artist said that she is going to leave this up for the duration of President Trump's time in office. So how do you feel about that? Is that valid artistic expression, or is she inciting others, you know, to dissent? Is this a problem in your mind?
That's great away because that is expressing her feeling that she thinks he's like a Nazi that's gonna like ruin the world and he's a clown, or she thinks he's, you know, whatever kind of person, whatever the clown expression is, or, you know, and that could lead people, that could not lead people, but, you know, Snoop Dogg has more freaking influence than that random artist in Phoenix, and I don't know, it could spark a riot, you know, and that could lead back to him. So in the case of where his artistic expression, as some people want to put it, is leading people or get something that's not even there to begin with, then, you know, then I guess you could and I guess you couldn't at the same time because, I mean, people can have cults in the United States as long as they don't arm up past a certain point like they're going to take on the United States, like down in Waco. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, and, you know,
so.
Waco is arguably one of the, I mean, some people say it was mass murder by the government. David Koresh was definitely a wild guy, you know. So we have to be careful here because we can't limit someone's artistic expression because if you start doing that, if you start saying, okay, well, you can do this, but painting this might cause issues or problems or feelings of discomfort, so we're going to have to limit you in this area but not in another area. If you start that, then it's a very slippery slope. Then eventually everything's going to be censored because it could incite violence or give people feelings.
Yeah,
so,
then you're moving more into a dictatorship or even a communist state than more of a democratic, republican, socialist, whatever the fuck you want to call us. I mean, freak you want to call us, my bad. Sorry about that.
No, you're right. And that's so my friend has a Trump picture, okay? He uses it for archery practice. Now, his point is this incitement or a threat? Or is it neither? Is it him just shooting Trump's face in his backyard because he doesn't like Trump and he thinks it's funny?
Well, it depends if he plans to do further intent than what he's just doing. Because it could be just target practice. Like, I go to Renaissance fairs all the time and they have these throwing axe booths up all the time with celebrity faces all over them, different celebrities. I mean, it's just a game. It's just, you know, you can take your anger out on a celebrity you don't like by throwing a throwing axe at them or a crossbow or whatever. I mean, as long as it's nothing that's going past that further, because that could just be mainly like a humor, kind of like when back in the day they had little midgets that were gestures and they put on little plays making fun of the, you know, kings and queens and emperors and whatnot. It was just that there was nothing further of someone acting like they're killing the king with two little midgets trying to be funny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're practicing with your bow and shooting, you know, you're shooting Donald Trump's face, that's one thing. But then all of a sudden you look to his, you look in his barn and he's got plans put up with other stuff to help him try to get access to get it. And then there's intent there. Other than that, it's just, you know, funny target practice, kind of like people have the zombie stuff.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. And I think, you know, what you're getting at and what we have here is a matter of intent. And intent is something that is almost impossible to gauge until something actually happens or it doesn't happen, which means that you can't. And if
you have further proof of the intent.
If they wrote the manifesto, you know, if they wrote down something that says they were going to do it, but even so, you know, there were manifestos that came to life. Mein Kampf comes to example. But, you know, if you hold people accountable for what you believe that they are thinking or their intentions, then we're back to 1984 and we have thought crime and trying to police people's minds and their thoughts.
Minority Report.
Yes, Minority Report. Exactly. Well, Go ahead. Finish your thought.
My last thing. I guess you got a phone call, but my only other thing with the Snoop Dogg thing is, if you want to find out if it's artistic expression or intent, is based off what his next political move is, since they're asking for an apology.
You're right.
You know?
And Trump's intent has been something that has been a big area of discussion as well. Because he has been tweet happy, and a lot of it has caused some issues, I guess you could say. And, you know, something I brought up the other night, and I'll bring it up again, when you have a president who accuses the exiting president, the exiting party in power, which is a tactic of an oligarch or a tyrant, as one of my friends pointed out the other night, then, you know, that alone is dangerous. But when he's accusing them of wiretaps without being willing to produce any kind of proof or, you know, saying, well, this is why I believe this, how are we going to believe something in the future when he says something that could be even more dangerous, like, oh, well, Iran has nukes and they're pointed at us?
Well, I mean, you can't completely go off that. I mean, he's just – everybody's in shock and all that he won presidency, especially with the way he conducts himself. You know, he's not a – he's a brunt person. But if you remember correctly, when Obama first came into office back in 2008, whenever they kept asking him about stuff like that, all he did was put blame on Bush when there was no proof that was Bush's blame. But nobody was like, oh, that's oligarchy and tyranny and stuff like that. No, I mean, it's just the way Trump is presenting himself towards people. People aren't used to such a brash president, you know, and he's like a social media type president. I mean, he's more so than what Obama was, and that's what this country's moved more into, And that's what the people respond more to than watching the president's address, State of the Union address or whatever, on the news. You're going to get more response
out
of the people from Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff than you are going to be on CNN.
You're right, and that's and I don't think this is something that is specific to Donald Trump. I think that you find a pattern of this, and I think it is more has to do more with the corporatocracy or oligarchy or power structure that, you know, oh, well, I'll fix it. It was this guy's fault. I'll fix it. This is this guy's fault. And what we have here is just a rehash of the same thing over and over and over that's not getting fixed. Because whoever thinks the person in the president's seat is the problem doesn't know what the problem is.
Yeah. I mean, to see if he's actually going to do what he says he is or if he's going to be a good president, people can't go off his first couple of months as president, you know. It takes more. I mean, if people know how government works, we'll see by the end of the year. If, you know, I'd give it a year because it's going to take time for him to get some things in effect. I mean, plus look at all the opposition he's running against so far, just because people don't like him because his name's Trump. So.
Fair enough. You're right. I mean, we will have to see. Things have been rough so far, but, you know, hey, who knows? Yeah. Things could get better. Well, I definitely appreciate your call this evening. And, you know, always continue to listen and call in anytime. We'd be glad to have you.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
You too, bye.
So we had a good call there. You know, he pointed out a lot of things. And he basically said, you know, what I was going to say about this whole situation with Snoop's video, artistic integrity, the ability of someone to create without fear of reprisal. We're walking a very thin line, but we always have when it comes to art and creativity, you know. Now, I don't think that preferable to encourage assassinations or violence in that way, but I do think it's important for people to be able to express themselves without the fear of reprisal. But we cannot start condemning people for intentions because that's something that's an unknown. And when we begin to do that, as I said, we're entering into George Orwell's 1984, guilty until proven innocent. Absolutely. So, and as far as our future with Trump, you know, I really do hope it turns out well, and I hope it gets better. Believe me, there's nothing I would love more than for this to be fantastic. I have my doubts given what we've seen so far, but, you know, part of what upsets me is when people are appointed like Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway, and now this is unconfirmed, but Kellyanne Conway's husband, from what I understand, is now being looked at for an appointment. You know, and this all comes back to organizations like Citizens United. There's also a company called Cambridge Analytica, and they develop advanced algorithms. And Robert Mercer is a name you may not have heard, but Robert Mercer is a billionaire. Robert Mercer is the one who is one of the main funders. I mean, I don't think he founded it. But Cambridge Analytica receives a lot of money from him, and so does Citizens United. They're wrapped back to him. And he is a hedge fund manager. And what Cambridge Analytica does is uses advanced computer algorithms to – it's basically big data. So they go in and they look at, okay, so you took a Facebook quiz and you told us what superhero you're most like or what things make you happy on a sunny day. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, they go in and they look at your posts, your tweets, different kinds of media, and they pull it all together, and then they develop a profile. Okay, and these profiles can go by geography, region, country, all the way down to individual. And these hedge fund managers, like Mercer, also use these algorithms to grow capital for the people who invest and for the people who have hedge funds, these children who have a whole bunch of money, these trust fund babies, and when they reach a certain age, they get a whole bunch of money from their family. And people like him take all this money and invest it and grow it for them, and they get paid well to do so. Now, Cambridge Analytica is the top of the heap, okay? And Robert Mercer is the best when it comes to managing hedge funds. And Robert Mercer is directly tied to Steve Bannon, okay, to Kellyanne Conway, to President Trump, to Cambridge Analytica. And when you have this concentration of people, okay, and they're all wrapped together, and all you have to do is follow the money, then we're very possibly entering dangerous territory. Especially when you have – now, it's not exactly nepotism, given that, you know, Donald Trump, as far as we know, isn't related to Kellyanne Conway or her husband. However, it's a form of nepotism and doing favors. Now, this isn't to say that other presidents didn't do it as well. I mean, you can look back at to the appointment – the ambassador appointments of Barack Obama, and a lot of those were basically bought and paid for. And if you're the ambassador to somewhere like Norway, that's a pretty cushy job. I mean, I would like to have that job. And if you've got a couple million to throw towards a presidential campaign, you too could have a spot like that. Very possible. So let's go back to JC here. He's been waiting on hold. We'll let him finish his thought. Give me just a second here. All right, JC, you're back on. You still here?
I am.
All right, so what's going on? You heard the discussion I just had with the other caller and what I had to say afterwards and you know, before I went on with him. So what do you have any opinions on this, or is there something else you wanted to bring up?
Well, I just wanted to finish a thought on the artistic expression. You know, I heard about this artist in China that he buys dead babies from a hospital, and then he fries them in a pan and eats them for lunch. He videotapes the whole process. And
okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Stop right there. So there's an artist in Japan, and he purchases dead babies from China. He purchases dead babies, fetuses, whatever. Now, I mean, we're going to assume that this is aborted fetuses or someone that have died during birth. And I'm
That's
assuming
about
he pays good money for these.
I have too.
Okay. But this is, as far as you know, this is a real thing.
As far as I know, it's at least a real rumor anyway.
Okay, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry. I had to wrap my mind around that first. Go ahead.
Yeah, most people do. I just heard about this the other day, but he videotapes the whole process and then shows it as art in China. And, you know, I think a lot of the artistic expression is just, it's a local thing. You know, is the artist going to conform to what we would call Western culture, I guess, you know, or pursue endeavors in what they believe, positive or negative. That's what I was looking for. You know, whether they perceive it as positive or negative, you know, and I guess what I'm getting at here is if it doesn't inhibit or repress somebody else's expression, then there's no real reason to, you know, or just outright breaks the law, then I see no, unless it blatantly breaks the law or represses someone else's expression, there's really no reason to, you know, try to limit it.
Okay. So I'm definitely – I'm looking into this while you're so this man says that he used real aborted fetuses stolen from a medical school to create the piece, that he actually cooked and ate the fetuses for art's sake. Since he vomited while he was doing it. Yeah, I mean, and I got to be honest with you, I'm against that.
100%. I'm not on board with that.
Right, but I mean, I guess that, and if it is true, I mean, it could be one of these. Cause, I mean, Snopes, of course, says it's false, but Snopes, I have issues with Snopes, but you know. Artistic expression is a touchy thing. It always will be. It always has. For God's sakes, in Rome, in Italy, they wouldn't allow pictures of nude men. I mean, they went around and chopped all the penises off of half of the statues.
Right. It's a local culture thing.
Also, my friend just mentioned that Pussy Riot got put in jail in Russia. I mean, Pussy Riot is known to speak out against Russian dictatorship and Putin. Pussy Riot is a very cool band.
Yeah, I've heard Pussy Riot.
Yeah, and they've always been persecuted. And that's an example of artistic expression being persecuted and the artist being jailed. And it's something that's happened throughout history. So, you know, I think that it's important to make sure that people are not being harmed without their consent. Okay.
Sure.
But
I would like to hear more about
expression.
This Cambridge Analytica.
I actually may do a future show with a little more information on Cambridge Analytica.
Okay.
I know a decent amount about it, but
I know they're a data
mining
company.
They are. They're one of, if not the best, data mining company. I know some about them, but to be honest with you, given my age, sometimes I forget things. So I definitely need to be a little more prepared before I go too far into Cambridge Analytica and Citizens United. I believe Lee Camp on Redacted Tonight did a short segment recently on the ties between Cambridge Analytica, Citizens United, the Trump presidency. So definitely, if anybody's interested, check that out. Lee Camp is freaking hilarious. You know, he's awesome. But yeah, JC, man, thank you for calling in. Always a pleasure to have you. Definitely give us a call back in the future for sure.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So, some pretty good discussion here. I did want to go back a little bit to this this anti-Trump billboard in Phoenix. So the artist is Karen. I don't want to butcher her last name here, but it's Fiorito. And she's been known to do this type of controversial art before. This is nothing new for her. And this is her way of commenting on President Trump's administration as she sees it. According to her, billboards are perfect because you don't have to go to a gallery to see it. You're creating dialogue with the public. You're reaching people you'd never reach with your artwork. And that's true. Not all of us are ready to walk into a gallery. Some people are intimidated by that. Some people are uncomfortable by it, and some people just don't feel like they want to go in and discuss pictures on a wall, which is fine. So I'm not against creating art in the public for people to see. I mean, there's graffiti that's amazing. These 3D chalk art all over the street you'll see, they're absolutely awesome. No. Okay. Apparently there's a graffiti artist named Banksy, so check him out. But bringing art to people who otherwise either wouldn't have the opportunity or the money, because a lot of times, I mean, even the local Museum of Art where I'm at is now charging, admission. And, prior to that, it was by donation, and which, of course, is always preferable, but the place has to stay open, but you would think there would be funding for that. But unfortunately, funding for the arts is something that's going away rather quickly. And that's something we always need to be careful of because, you know, especially children, they need a way to express themselves. They need to have that avenue available to them. And not everybody's able to write a poem or a short essay on how they feel. I mean, that is not the limits of artistic expression, okay? Most people hate poetry, okay? I write poetry. I like it. But most of it is obnoxious to read. It is. And I'm okay with it. I get that. But the point is, you can't send someone to an art class and tell them to draw a face, and that is the limit of their artistic expression or their experience with it. It's not fair. And we need to have things like, you know, graphic art design, radio. I mean, for God's sakes, people go out and dig through trash and get old antiques and make them into something awesome. And all these avenues need to be open to people. You know, and if art is not your thing, then you don't have to do it. That's great. But I don't know, I'm getting off on a tangent here, I know. So back to the billboard. You know, I think it is intended to push people's buttons. A lot of people would argue that good art is always supposed to do that. You know, on the back of this billboard, there is a sign that says Unity, and it has the sign language symbols with different colored hands, you know, to represent unity across races, I would assume. You know, some art majors may be able to dig a little deeper than I can. But the point is, art is always going to be controversial. That's what art is. And it is up to us to make sure that people are protected and have the ability to express themselves without the worry of being imprisoned and without the worry of being persecuted for their beliefs. And this goes for everything, okay? And this also goes for people who voted for President Trump. Everybody is so happy to ostracize and persecute these people who voted for President Trump because they believe that they were wrong. And they believe that they have made this grievous mistake and that we're headed for tyranny. Maybe we are. I don't know. But what I do know is that we should have the ability to come together and talk about the things that are going on in our world and the problems without pointing fingers and placing blame. Okay? Now, despite what you may think about the Electoral College and the popular vote and what happened in the election, a lot of people voted for Trump. Okay? Numbers are there. So when you have a media culture and a group of people persecuting to vote for Trump, it's going to cause problems. Sorry, technical difficulty. It's going to cause problems. And we need to find a way to get over that and move forward. Because I've said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million more times. If you think the person in the office is the problem, the office of the president, then you don't know what the problem is. And we have to look at the way that the government's set up and the way that elections are funded and the way that the lobbyists are taking over and address it. So, I definitely appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. I'm going to cut it a little short tonight. Typically, we're going to do a two-hour show, but can't do that tonight. I definitely appreciate both the callers. It was great to have people call in and discussion. I will definitely be a little more prepared every time. Still getting this started, still working on the audio. So I appreciate everybody out there, and I appreciate everybody listening in and your support. You can find me at irateminority.net. I have been doing some blog posts, and you can also find me on Twitter @_irateminority_. And you can also find me on Facebook, Irate Minority. There's a page. So I definitely appreciate everybody's support. And again, always feel free to call in. Always feel free to bring up whatever you want. And, you know, I'll do my best to keep an open mind and have a discussion. That's what this is about. You know, different points of view, different people calling in and having a discussion, because we cannot make it better in our country and in our world unless we come together as people and move forward. Because that is what the power structure wants. The power structure wants division. They want division along race lines. They want division along party lines. They want division especially along economic lines. Because let me tell you this much. Those who go out and work, and if you don't work, if you struggle, if you've got money problems, health problems, family problems, health, life problems, because I think we can all say that life isn't always kind. It's not always easy to watch the news and then study everything that you hear, everything that you're told, go and look for valid sources, and find out if what you're being fed from your television screen or your radio or your internet radio show at blogtalkradio.com/IrateMinority. You cannot, same with self-promotion, you cannot understand anything until you look at who is behind the broadcast, who is behind the story, why are they writing it, and what are they writing it for? What is the reason that they're giving you this information and not other information? Now, there is a lot of honest media out there, honest news sources, and you can trust them. And I'm not going to say, yes, this one, that one, and that one. I can't do that because it's not my place to give you an avenue and claim that it is valid and claim that it is 100% accurate, because I know where I read and I know what I think, but it all comes down to this. There are, and I'm not sure the exact number because this changes every few years, but there are no less than 6 companies. Fish is no more. There's around 6 companies, what I'm trying to say, damn it, that own and operate all of the media, okay? And this is television media, okay? There's Time Warner, Disney, and whatever the hell the other ones are, okay? And they control every outlet of news, okay? So there's a reason you don't hear a lot about the corporate elite, powerful, money-hungry people at the top and how they are suppressing stories, won't allow certain stories, or directing the news in a certain way that benefits them. Because I'm going to tell you what, your congressmen and senators and the president and those who sit on the Supreme Court, there is a concerted effort to pay for their paths to office, okay? There are political action committees and super PACs. And basically, there's these groups that draw all of this money together. They pull all of this money and they dump it into commercials and say, did you hear about Bob Johnson? Don't vote for Bob Johnson. He eats babies in China. So, you know, there's this whole big, huge effort to paint your perception of and stories and countries. And that way they can manipulate your vote. These algorithms, these big data companies who go in and profile you. Think about going on the internet and you need this. Okay, so this is an example for me. We have a freshwater well, and it has a pump. So the pump goes out, and I was going to shut this down. I'm going to keep talking for a little while. So if we have anybody else who wants to call in, 619-924-9819. That's 619-924-9819. So I have this well pump, and the well pump went out. I needed a new one, and they are not cheap. So I go online, and I'm searching, and I'm searching, and I'm searching, trying to find a used one, trying to find the best new one. I ended up buying one from Sears, I think it was Sears, and it was a piece of crap. So I had to take it, and then I had to go search for this other one. For the next 2 months, every time I was on a website, guess what the ads were? They were for water pumps. They were for water pumps. I mean, that alone tells you right there what's happening when you're online. Okay? They are monitoring what you're doing, whether they're someone behind a desk saying, well, hell, Max is searching for one-handed dingle hoppers. Let's put those in his search results all the time. Add. No, there's a computer, an artificial intelligence, that monitors what you're typing in and what you're looking at, and then big money is paid to Google and these data companies to gather this information. That way you can be targeted for specific retail purchases, okay? They pay money for that. They're not going to put a water pump from Bob's Water Pumps on First Avenue and what the hell ever street, because that person does not put – they're going to put Sears, they're going to put Lowe's, Walmart, Amazon, Amazon, okay? They're going to put all of those because those people have the money to pay, all right? Follow the money. That's how this works. There is a big difference between 99% of the people in the world, 1%. And let me tell you this. The other 1% is actually 0.001% or something. There's like five families that control the majority of the wealth in the world, okay? So the top 1% own more than like 75% of the rest of us, but the 0.01% own more than like 90% of the rest, okay? That's insane. Okay. Now, look at it like this. If I own enough resources, land, area, if something happens to the United States or Europe or Iran or Libya or where the hell ever, it's not really going to affect me unless some of my businesses are there. I have money invested there. Okay. We're talking about people who are not affected by the rise and fall of countries other than monetarily, okay? That's the only thing it hurts is their wallet. They're not like you and I, okay? If America falls today, I have to figure out how to feed my family. I have to figure out how to fight off the gangs that are going to come and try and take what I have, because that will happen. That will happen. As I mentioned in another show, any store has a 3-day supply of food, okay? And that's by design. It's so it doesn't spoil, and, I mean, they can't carry a year's worth of food. It's all going to spoil. They're not going to sell it. The point is, when that food runs out, think about the last snowstorm. Think about the last flood, hurricane, whatever the problem is in your area. Think about the last time that happened, and think about all the nut jobs cleaning out every can of beans, all the water, everything in the damn store. Gone. That will happen. FEMA says that you need to be able to self-sustain you and your family for 72 hours. 72 hours, okay? Because that is precisely how long it will take to restore order. I don't know about you, but that is a lot of water, food, toilet paper that you have to have on reserve. And I don't know a lot of people who have a whole lot of just liquid capital. I mean, money that they can just throw away to make sure that they honestly have enough food and water to keep themselves safe for an extended period of time until what? Until the government comes in and helps you, right? Because we've seen how great that all happens, especially after Katrina. All right? It's not easy, okay? You've got a group of people, soldiers, you know, FEMA soldiers, National Guard, okay? They're trying to go in, stop people from looting, stop people from rioting, hand out food, rescue people. That's not an easy job, nor is it a small job. So you have to remember, you've got to fend for yourself until they get there. And that's if they get there, okay? What if it's a pandemic? What if it's a disease? Does that mean no one's coming? I don't know. Maybe. We've lived in comfort for a very long time. We live in America, and, you know, for all of its faults and problems, we're lucky to be here. We have men and women who have fought and died to keep it this way. Now, that's not to say every war was on the up and up and maybe even necessary, but that doesn't matter, okay? That doesn't mean that your friend, father, brother, sister, whatever, was going to war because they knew that the corporate elite needed to get more oil out of a country or stop a dictator from rising up and creating their own currency. No, no. These are people who are doing what they were ordered to do, to people who went to fight for their country, people that deserve respect, people that deserve our help and deserve a hell of a lot more than they've gotten, okay? But the point is, you need to be ready no matter what country you're in, no matter where you are, because anything could happen, all right? There could be a nuclear war, okay? There could be a polar shift. There could be a solar flare. There could be a nuclear bomb set off 1 point, however many effing miles over Kansas to shut down the major power stations, okay? And when the social order breaks down because of something like this, what won't you do to feed your kid? What is it that you won't do to make sure that your wife, husband, children, mother has something to eat and doesn't die? Okay? Yeah, there's going to be problems. Now, I think that we really, really, really need to think about the future of our country and what it means to break down as a society over issues that may be of the most importance. You know, I have nothing against Christians. I have nothing against atheists. I have nothing against any religion, right? I can frankly give a damn. you know, if you want to get married, whatever. I don't care. I don't have a moral responsibility to put what I believe onto other people. You know, I don't think that that's a thing. What I'm worried about is our government, the spending that's out of control, and I'm worried about people arguing and fighting in the streets. And I'm worried about people who hate the person for voting for Donald Trump. I'm worried about people who hated those who voted for Barack Obama. Okay. That is just created division. Politics are now reality television for ugly people. That's not me. That was someone else. I'm quoting someone else. But, I mean, look at the look at these people. Melania, the exception, because I don't know, she is an attractive person. And that guy from Canada is apparently a Ken doll. I don't know. But I don't know. Ted Cruz, that guy creeps me out. That guy looks like his face is melting, and he's trying to keep it up. That creeps me out. But anyway, I'm getting a little off topic here. The reason why I say all this, and I'm not trying to fearmonger, I'm not trying to freak you out, I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy nut. I just think it's important for people to be prepared. And I also think it's important for people to realize that your fellow man is not your enemy in a normal circumstance, okay? And we're supposed to live in a country that makes it okay for you to have either a difference of opinion or vote for a person the other people don't like, okay? That's the way we're set up. That's what countless men and women have fought and died for, and it's what we've been left with, okay? It wasn't initially that way, all right? It was set up for rich white men to control the Senate and the country, okay? And that's a fact. You can look that up. I don't need to give anybody a history lesson. It was the same way in Rome, and we see what happened there. But we've grown since then, right? We have elected officials, right? Kind of, I hope. But we do have control. The people have control, and that is what they fear. You and I, black, white, female, Muslim, Christian, atheist, tall, short, fat, we hold the power. They don't survive without us. It's not the other way around. And that's important to remember. Because if everyone in the country stopped for 10 minutes where they were standing at the same time, you have any idea what that would do? If everyone in the whole country turned off their cars, turned off their TVs, their lights, their smartphones, their computers at the same time, they would freak out. An organization on that level would scare them in a way that has never happened before. That's what we need. We need to come together like that to show the corporate, ridiculous, crazy, rich people, the ones who continue to get bonuses when the stock market crashes, right? The ones who continue to manipulate the banking system, right? Without repercussion. We're the ones who foot the bill. Remember that. We are the ones who foot the bill. Not them. We do. You want to go out and invest people's money to put in your bank and make the wrong investment choices and fail? Oh, sure. Here's your money. We'll bail you out. Do you know who uses more welfare than anyone else? It's not a race. It's not a gender. It's not even a real person. It's a corporation. Corporate welfare is the biggest abuser and user of welfare in our country. That is a fact. It's not a widely known fact. It's not something that they like to share. And you see them wanting to cut Meals on Wheels. Really? Meals on Wheels? That's where we're going to carve money out of the budget? And granted, that was a proposal. I don't know if they've come up with a new one, but still. You can't cut Meals on Wheels. You can't cut normal welfare. You can't cut food stamps. You can't cut Medicare, Medicaid, medical cards, help for teenage mothers, help for single mothers, help for families who are going through a hard time, help for veterans, wounded veterans. Okay, none of these areas amount to a hill of fucking beans when it comes to the money, the subsidies, and the welfare that are handed out by the frickin' truckload to these corporations. We live in an oligarchy. The rich are in charge. Princeton did a study on it. Princeton. We have entered a time that is dangerous. And if we don't grab the steering wheel, we're headed off of a cliff. And right before we go off the edge of this cliff, all those fat cats are just going to bail out with their money bags. And off we go into the ravine while they stand on the hill laughing. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. When this paper money, because that's what it is. It's paper. It's really nice paper. It's very fancy paper. It's paper that has been, there's like fibers and different colors, and there's a little weird band thing, and now the $100 bill looks like Monopoly money. It's insane, okay? Like the, I don't know. You've seen it. There's like an hourglass. I don't know what the hell that big yellow thing is on it. It's weird. But it's just paper and ink and fibers. But that is nothing, okay? That it's called a fiat currency, F-I-A-T, fiat currency. And I know I've been over this before. I'm going to say it again because it's important. It's not real. The only thing that gives it meaning is it because we say it has meaning, because it's backed by the U.S. government. So it's only as good as long as our government survives. And maybe not even that long. Because you can't, any freaking first grader knows, if you keep giving away money, eventually you're not going to have any money. And any rational person knows the more money you borrow, at a certain point, you can't pay it back. There's never enough time or money in existence to pay it back. Not to mention the interest. Somebody's going to come to collect their check. And I have a feeling it's going to be kneecaps, because somebody's going to get their money. You know what they say, ask gas or grass, nobody rides for free. What's going to happen then? I don't know. But I guarantee you it's not going to be good. There needs to be a big change here. And I hope that's what President Trump's doing. I do, man. That's the thing. And I can't say this enough. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am apolitical, if anything. I didn't care for Obama. Okay, I didn't hate him as a president. I think he did a lot of good things. But I don't like Trump either. I didn't like Bush. I'm a little young for Clinton. You know, it was just kind of a, hey, that guy did something gross in the office. But the point is, It's just a continuation of the same stuff. It's all it is. All right? It's not like Obama was the savior and now Trump's in and is going to tear everything down, and it's not that way. I mean, look at what they're doing. So the Affordable Care Act is now the American Care Act. We're changing one word, and then we're going to gut this, and we're not going to gut that, and these people want to just take it all away and do something different, and then these people just want to replace things and make it a little better, a little worse. So it's insane. There has been 7 years for people to draft up something awesome and be like, oh, yeah? Well, check this shit out. Yeah. No, that didn't happen. It's like, oh, well, we're going to make the American Care Act. Well, what that? You just changed a word, and you're taking things out of it. That's insane. Why didn't they? Okay. Anyway, the point is, again, it comes down to us coming together as a people, stop bitching and arguing and fighting over stuff that doesn't even really matter. Stop pointing fingers and blaming people for electing the president we have now as if that is the cherry on the cake, the coup de grace of the most horrible thing that could have ever happened, because it's not. Maybe it was a mistake. Okay, fine. Stop blaming people and come together and think about how to fix it. Have a discussion. Come up with better ideas. Do something in your own community to help change it. Come out with a radio show that 3 people listen to. Hey, that's what I did. You got to do something. We have to do something to start the discussion, to get people together, and start making a change. Because until we do that, they're going to keep abusing the American people and the country at large and the world at large. They're just going to keep doing it, and they're going to keep putting these stupid issues that don't matter in front of us. They're going to keep cramming this crap down our throats. And people are going to still applaud and thumb through their smartphones, and it doesn't affect me. It all happens through a screen, right? It does affect you. It's going to come to you. It will happen. So, again, thanks to everybody for calling in. Great calls. Had a good time. Good discussions. I will be doing another show on Sunday. I might do one before then. I'll definitely keep you guys posted. Keep coming back, looking on the website, blogtalkradio.com/IrateMinority. It's kind of hard to search for it without doing that right now. I'm working on getting that fixed as well. I have a website called irateminority.net. Been doing some blog posts there. It's been about a week since I put one up, but I'll definitely get that going as well. And I'm on Twitter, _IrateMinority_. And you can find me on Facebook as well, at @IrateMinority. So keep checking back. Send me a message, email, whatever, irateminority@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions or something you want to talk about on the show or you'd like to be a guest, definitely, again, thank you, callers, and thank you, listeners. I will be back next week. And for everybody out there, be safe. Be calm. Don't do anything crazy. Don't have a tagline for the show yet. So, you know, we are in the freak show here, as George Carlin said. It's the greatest show on earth. And when you're born into this world, you get a ticket to the freak show. But when you're born in America, you get a front row seat. So come back again. Join me in discussing the freak show. We'll always have a seat saved for you here in the front row. Good night.